Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the epistle reading from Galatians chapter 4, as it has been read. Adopted children are those who are chosen specifically by their parents, and they are intentionally included in the family. But that is not only true for those who are adopted in this world, but it is also true of our relationship, every one of us, with our Heavenly Father. We are the adopted sons. And yes, ladies, that's the way the Scripture talks about it. By the way, men, we are also the bride of Christ. So we get even there, okay? But the Scripture talks about that we are all of us, the adopted sons, and therefore we have become His heirs. And that's pretty awesome, to be adopted and then to become an heir to a fortune. And so St. Paul writes in our text, when the time had fully come. You know, God's timing is always perfect. Not mine, not yours, but God's time, always perfect. And it's often the case that we don't recognize that. We don't realize that God is doing things in our lives exactly at the right time. Why was it as far as scholars can tell, probably give or take around the 4 BC, roughly, when Jesus was born, okay? Why then? Why not earlier? Certainly, the people of the Old Testament have been waiting and waiting. Why wasn't Jesus born earlier? Why not later? Why was that the right time? We don't know. But God knew, even as He now today knows, when Jesus is coming back in power and glory. Boy, don't we wish we knew that. I think I shared with some of you this morning, my prayer almost daily is, Amen, come Lord Jesus. I'm ready. Jesus, come. But we don't know. We simply have to trust God's timing. And we have to trust that God's timing is for our good, that God's timing is perfect. St. Paul also, in his letter to the Romans, writes, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At the time when we could do nothing for ourselves, all was lost, all was hopeless, God did everything for us by sending Jesus to die on the cross. And so in Galatians, Paul continues. He says, God sent His Son, born of a woman. Why did He bother mentioning that? Isn't everybody born of a woman? Yeah. But maybe He was talking about a promise that had been made years and centuries before that. Jesus, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And that's the special part. The Son of God sent from heaven, the seed of the woman. Those in Bible class today, we talked about that a little bit, how unique that is. The seed of the woman promised to Adam and Eve after they had fallen into sin. You know what? Adam and Eve were the only ones who didn't need to be adopted. They were created. They were created as part of God's family in perfection and peace. And they messed it all up when they sinned. And then they had to be adopted back again. And that would be accomplished through the seed of the woman, Jesus, true man, born of the Virgin Mary, who would crush the head of Satan. And that indeed was His mission, accomplished on Calvary when He declared, "It is finished." And it was. And our salvation had been prepared. St. Paul continues, born under the law. That's significant. when Paul uses the term law, because every one of his readers then and today need to understand what that means. The law of God is what God expects and demands. It's what he expects and demands. That's frightening. Because I can't live up to that. Jesus was not above God's law when he was born, but rather he was born under it, as St. Paul writes, just like we are. Now, some of you are aware that foreign diplomats who are serving in our country have what's called diplomatic immunity. I don't think they have to pay parking tickets. Maybe worse, I don't know. If they do real bad things, they get asked to leave, but they don't go through our court system, diplomatic immunity. They're kind of above the law in that regard. Not Jesus. Jesus was not above the law. He didn't have divine immunity, but rather he came into our world and he was under the law. He was bound by the same expectations and the same demands that God puts on you and on me. When questioned about it, Jesus said, "I have come not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it." And so he did. He lived a perfect life so that his death would not be a punishment for sins of his own. And if not, then he could die for your sins and for mine. So that he could be our substitute and take the punishment that we deserved because of our sinfulness. Our text continues. St. Paul writes, "To redeem those under the law," the word redeem means to buy back, to purchase back again, "those whom God's law meant a death sentence," physical death, "followed by an eternity in hell," and Jesus redeems us. He buys us back from that fate. He brought us back, as we remember in the small catechism, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that we might receive adoption as sons. A reminiscent of the Christmas Day gospel that we heard this week, where St. John writes in his first chapter, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." And because you are sons, St. Paul writes, because you are now adopted sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." If you've studied this text before, you probably know Abba is an Aramaic term. It's a term of endearment, a word for father that in English we would probably substitute the word daddy. That's a relationship. That is, talks about the relationship that we have with God. It's not just a biological relationship, but it is a relationship of love and trust, of security and peace. I think Luther had this in mind when he encourages us to pray, not only in the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, but indeed in all of our prayers, recognizing the father and child relationship. And so Luther writes, "God would by these words tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true father, and that we are his true children, so that we may with all boldness and confidence ask him who is our dear father." And when I read those words and I read this text, I envision in my mind daddy coming home after a long day at work, and there to greet him are his children. And he sits down in his favorite chair, and they run up and they jump into his lap and they say, "Daddy, guess what happened today? Let me tell you the story of my little life today." And what a wonderful relationship that is. And that is the relationship that we have. When we cry, "Abba, Father," that is the relationship of peace and trust. "So then, you are no longer a slave," St. Paul writes, "but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." In earthly monarchies, we know this, at least in the old days, the son of the king literally inherited the kingdom. Okay, lock, stock, and barrel. In God's family, we celebrate the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of Jesus Christ, and so we inherit his kingdom. Even now, right now, we are part of his kingdom. It's not something we have to wait for someday, maybe, but we are part of his kingdom even now. In this life, as we live in his earthly kingdom, the church, and one day when he calls us home to triumphant, church triumphant in heaven. As an adopted child can point to the date of their adoption, the date the adoption was finalized and made legal, that is the date that they became officially a part of a new family. So, as adopted children of God, we can also point to the time and the event that sealed our place in God's family. For most of us, this occurred in our baptisms, when with water and his word, we experienced a new birth, a birth from death to life, a birth into God's family. And so, as this week we end another calendar year and we prepare to face the new one, let's do so with the confidence that comes in knowing that because we are the redeemed children of God, and therefore we are the heirs of his kingdom, what more do we need? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.